This is another topical sermon, so we're not going to be plugging our way through those passages in detail. As Steve mentioned, this is Vision Sunday. It's the Sunday where we won't whip that up yet. Thank you. It's the Sunday in which we sort of officially kick the year off for 2014, and we look at what we hope the year will hold for us. I think Steve gave me a bit too much prophecy later right before when he said, Brennan will tell us what the year holds, what we hope the year will hold for us. As a senior minister, it's my job to sort of set the vision for 2014 and beyond, and then ask you, the congregation, to get on board with that vision. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, over the holidays, I started reading. I never actually usually finish books. Started reading this book by Bill Hybels. It's called Axiom, Powerful Leadership Proverbs. Bill Hybels runs the Willow Creek, big mega church over in the States. And this little book, he has 76 proverbs. It's 76 chapters of about two or three pages each, in which he talks about his leadership ideas or proverbs. Now, axiom number three in this book is, you're always in a season. That's number three off the rank. Number one is language matters. Make sure you communicate using effective language. Axiom number two is make the big ask. And that's what I'm going to be doing a little later on in the sermon. But number three, axiom number three is you're always in a season. And he says in this book, a key responsibility of the leader is to know what season the organization is in, to name it, and then to communicate the implication of that season to his or her followers. Now, that's what I want to do today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to name the season I think we're all in right off the bat. Then I'm going to talk about what the implications of that are for our church. And I'm going to finish with a big ask. I'm going to ask you to play your part in this season. So, how about I pray? And then we'll begin. Our great God, I want to start by thanking you for our church. By that I mean the members of our church. While we know no church is perfect, we want to thank you for our church family here. And we want to ask now for your special blessing over 2014, and that you will give us a spirit of fellowship and a spirit of service. And may we continue to be mutually encouraged as we spur one another on in our Christian lives here at Erwood Anglican. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A bit of a croaky throat this morning. Well, to begin with, what season are we in? Now, I actually realised what season we're in about 6 months ago, a couple of months before Bill Hybels put language to what I was thinking. Now, I could be wrong with this, okay? I'm happy for you to come back to me. We'll have a question time at the end as well. It's worthwhile opening up to talk about our church while we're here. So if you have any questions as we go along, write them down or commit them to memory and we'll ask them afterwards and I'll do my best. The season I think we're in, like I said, I could be wrong, but the season I think we're in is tiredness. I think we're tired as a church. I think many of us have been working so hard this past 6 or 8 years to ensure that this place doesn't die that we've started to wear ourselves out. Now, Bill actually talks about this season in his book. He says, this is the season where you've run your volunteers ragged and probably need to slow the pace down and let people catch their breath. Now, can I say that I think Marshall and everyone here have done a fantastic job over the last six to eight years. Not only are we not dead, which was, you know, what some of us were thinking back then, which is great, we're not dead. Not only are we not dead as a church, we've got two full-time staff, okay, ministering to healthy Christians. So can I say right off the bat, well done. Your hard work is paying off. It's really good. But our hard work is also, I think, leaving us a bit tired. Now, what's led me to this conclusion is the fact that I have spent what I think is an unusually large amount of time either shutting down or replacing ministry positions that people have stepped down from. During my 2.5 years here, we've closed down Monday Bowls, we've closed down the Fourth Wednesday Lunch, Kids Club, and Music for Minis, just to name a few, simply because we don't have anyone to run these ministries. On top of that, I've had to replace one warden, two parish councils, the entire Ignite leadership team, bar one, almost the entire Thirst leadership team, and our safe ministry officer three times now. I've had to replace our safe ministry officer. So I think people are not only tired in their ministries, I think other people are too tired to step up and serve in those areas. That's my take. But I need to make three quick comments by way of clarification for this. Number one here is, not everyone here is tired. Okay? Not everyone. Some people are just lazy. Or some people are not interested in Christian ministry. Now, if this is you, can I encourage you, make sure you listen towards the end of this sermon. I'm hoping I have something to say to you people. Second, others among us are not lazy, we're just too busy for Christian ministry. Okay? So these are people that have filled their lives up so much, so they spend so many hours at work or so many hours with their hobbies that Christian ministry just has to miss out. Now, if this is you, can I remind you that God asks for our first fruits, not our leftovers. And if you were here last week, you would have heard from Acts 2:42 that the early Christians, they didn't devote themselves to their career or their hobbies. While they no doubt had those things, what they devoted themselves to, what came first, was Christian things. Third quick comment is that some of us are not just tired, some of us are burnt out. Burnout is different to tired. Okay? Burnout is when we work so hard for so long that you just end up collapsing and you need like 12 months to recover. I'm actually very mindful of burnout, and I've said no to some people in stepping up to new ministries because they're already doing too much and I don't want them to risk burning out. See, the problem with burnout is you lose some of your best people for like 12 months as they recover. It's not a good thing. But I don't think that's most of us. Most of us are not burnt out. Most of us are not too busy. Most of us are not lazy. Most of us, I think, are just tired. That's the season I think we're in at the moment. Tiredness. So now that we've realised and named our season, what are the implications for this? Implications are actually a lot easier to figure out than the season. It took me almost 2 years to figure out we're tired. It's taken me a couple of weeks to figure out what we need to do as a result of that. And what this means for us is that we need to strip back everything that is not essential to running a healthy church. And the main implication of the season of tiredness is we need to focus on the basics of what it means to be and run a healthy church and let go of the rest. So just like you don't go out and buy a brand new couch when you're struggling to find money to put food on the table and pay your rent, so too will it be foolish of us to spend our resources on extras when we're struggling with the necessities. So what I want to do now is show you what the basics of a healthy church are. And I got this from the course I did last year. I did a pretty much a year-long course of about 10 specific days on how to run a church. It was an excellent course, and what it showed me was what a healthy church is made up of. And a healthy church is made up of, let's see if this works, there you go, of these five systems. A healthy church has an outreach system, excuse me, it has an integration system or a welcoming system, it has a growth system, it has an infrastructure system. And then these four systems all operate within the sphere of gracious relationships. That's how we relate and operate as Christians, okay? So five systems here. Now, what I want to do is I want to break these systems down and discuss what they look like here at Earlwood Anglican, just to give us a bit of an idea. And we're going to start with the outreach system. So the outreach system is how Earlwood Anglican ensures that we are playing our part in the Great Commission. We are connecting people with Christ. That's part of our vision. And evangelism, I think most of us know this, is one of those things that all Christians know we should be doing, but no one complains about if it's not happening, do we? And this is why I push evangelism so hard. is because if it doesn't get pushed, it doesn't happen. Now, we have an evangelism system here. It's running quite smoothly. It's headed up by Steve, and he has a team under him. We've got Kate, Gail, Dave, Peter, and John. We would really love another female to add to that team. If you would like to be involved in the outreach team, please come and see myself or Steve. Now, the shape this ministry takes is we put on outreach events, 4 per year. We've got our movie night, we've got a men's and women's, and then we've got our final big hurrah at the Christmas service. We have a Life of Jesus course that we put on once a year. We're adding to that another thing this year about questions with the rector. Excuse me, more of that to follow. And we do evangelism training. That's the outreach system. Next is the growth system. Now, this is where we transform people in Christ. Okay? The growth system is headed up overall by me as the senior minister. It has various teams. Okay? We've got service leaders, we've got musicians, we've got prayers, we've got Bible study leaders, ignite leaders, thirst leaders, etc. These are all the teams that go to helping us grow in our Christian maturity, go to transforming us in our Christian life. And basically these ministries, the main ones are our Sunday services here on Sunday. That's the main focus, the main place where we help people grow. Number two is Bible study groups. Right? This is the second most important way that we transform people. Now, they're kicking off this week. There are still people who are not in a group, who've never wanted to join a group. Can I implore you, once again, think about it. Just try it for 6 months. See what happens. Come and see me. We'll put you in a group. Children and youth ministry, personal devotions. Okay, this is where we read the Bible and pray, either by ourselves or with some other people that I've been doing the last couple of weeks, early in the morning. It is fantastic. Come and see me if you want to join in on that. And the last one is serving in ministry, serving people for Christ. Willow Creek, where Bill Hybels comes from, they did a big research project a couple of years ago, spent almost, I think, over $1 million on this, to find out about how people serve. And what they found is that those who have grown the most, those who are most mature in their Christian life, are the ones who are serving the most. Right? Service is part of how we grow as Christians. That's the growth system. What about the infrastructure system? Now this again is talking about the nuts and bolts of how we keep this place going. Again, this is headed up by me as the senior minister. We have a team. The team is called Parish Council. All right? And Parish Council's job is to look at how and where our money and property is used for ministry. And can I say, our Parish Council that we've got at the moment, they are very ministry-minded. I'm very thankful for our current parish council because they're doing a great job. Now, the last system, which I've left for last for a reason, is the integration system or the welcoming system. The reason I've left this to last is because we're not doing too well at this as a church. At the moment, it's going to be headed up by me, but the reason we're not doing well is because we don't have a team and we don't have a shape for the ministry. Okay. What I'm hoping, I'm in the process of rectifying this. This is one of the things I want to kick off for this year. Please pray for this ministry. Pray for the people that I've already been talking to about it, that they will get on board, and pray that we can get ourselves a shape for this ministry because it's needed to be a healthy church. Now, these are the basic systems a healthy church needs. All of this, mind you, is to be done within the environment of gracious relationships. A healthy church is one made up of healthy Christians who love for and care for one another. Gracious relationships, that's basically our modus operandi of how we operate. The only thing I would add to this structure, mind you, if I could say that, is helping the poor. That's the one thing that wasn't fit in. I mentioned this to the people in the course last year. Where does charity work come in? I'm not sure exactly where it fits in yet, but it's important. But apart from charity work, everything we do should fit into one of these systems. And all these systems need to be working if we're to continue as a healthy church. Now that brings us to our last point. My big ask for the year. This year, we're focusing on doing the bare basics. We've cut all the fat. We're doing the bare minimum in terms of ministry because we just don't have the people. Problem is, we're still finding it hard to find volunteers for these ministries. Now, what that will result in is Erwood Anglican moving from being a healthy church to being an unhealthy one. If we can't keep these basic ministries going, we're going to stop growing and we're going to start shrinking. And I don't think anyone here wants to see that. Now, my big ask for today is not that everyone double their efforts. Right? I'm not going to say, yeah, let's knuckle down, let's double our efforts, all right? What I want is for us to take ownership of our church. I want us to take ownership of our church. Now, what do I mean by ownership? You see, there's a big difference between a visitor and an owner, all right? A visitor is someone that sees something that needs to be done and they leave it for someone else. Right, so imagine you go to a restaurant or a shopping centre and you see that something's been spilt on the floor. Now, as a visitor, what do? You either ignore it or you get a staff member and tell them about it. An owner, though, if they see something that's spilled on the floor, what do? They go and get a mop straight away and they clean it up. That's what owners do. They have buy-in on their establishments. They have a vested interest in their establishment running well. A visitor, while they may enjoy the establishment, they have no buy-in. What I'd like this year is to have more owners at our church. Now, we already have a lot of owners, don't get me wrong, people I would consider to be owners. But we've also got plenty of visitors too. There are church members here who see needs around our place. And they say, I'm going to leave that for someone else. I'm going to leave it for a staff member or an owner. But this is what Paul's getting at in Ephesians 4. Yes, we got to the Bible. Like I said, topical sermon. In Ephesians 4, Paul says that people like apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, which is what I am, a pastor and teacher, we are not the owners of the church. We're the trainers. And he says, our job is to train the owners. Have a look at verse 12. Ephesians 4, page 1818, verse 12. I'll start from verse 11. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Friends, Erwood Anglican will not grow if it's left to the staff members. It will shrink. God tells us this. The only way Erwood Anglican will continue to grow and continue to be healthy is if the parishioners are working and serving. That's what the Bible tells us goes on. It's our job to equip you to be owners. So can I encourage you this year, become an owner of Erwood Anglican. If you see a need, don't ignore it and wait for someone else to step up and perform that ministry. The way to build a church is for you to step up and serve. But again, as we, I want to say two quick things by way of clarification on this, okay? Now, the first is that I may still say no to you if you step up. Because if you're already doing too much, if you're already an owner and you want to step up and do more, I might actually say, no, you know what, you're doing enough. I don't want you to burn out. I don't want to lose my good people for 12 months while they recover. I want to protect against that. But like I said, that's not most of us here. Most of us are just tired. Okay. To you, I want to share with you what I think is one of the more inspiring parts of the Bible. And it's from Philippians chapter 4. So if you want to whip over three or four pages, page 1827. Now, in this passage, the Apostle Paul tells us that he has experienced many seasons. All right, he's had many seasons. He says in verse 12, where are we? Oh, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. We could probably add to that whether energetic or tired. All right, these are the seasons he's lived through. But then he says this in verse 13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, the awesome thing about God is that he's a giver. He just continues to give. And it's not just money, it's time and energy as well. If we need more energy to serve him diligently, then ask him. See what happens. If we need more time to serve him diligently, then ask him and see what happens. Almost every week I have more work to do in that week than I have hours allocated to do it. But every week I get through it. Yesterday was it turned up to 11. I had one of the worst days in the last couple of years. Yesterday I had to finish writing the Bible studies, then I had to print the Bible studies out, then I had to print out the news sheet because Kathy's away, then I had to finish my sermon, and then I had to print my sermon out. In all of that, I also had printer problems and computer problems that took an hour or two out of my day. It was a horrible day. But I got through it. I have no idea how, other than the grace of God. There's a lot of prayer involved, but I got through it. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Please know that if you are seeking to honor God in your time, as opposed to yourself, okay, if you're honoring God in your time, then ask and see if he won't continue to give what you need to be able to do it, because he is a giver. Now, friends, there are many things in this world that tempt us to give up working for God and just relegate ourselves to the sideline, either short-term or long-term. I want to close by sharing with you something that a famous Christian once said about these temptations. The famous Christian's name is Joni Erickson Tata. I think some of us here will have heard of her. If you haven't, Joni Erickson Tata, at the age of, I think, 17 or 18, dived into shallow water and cracked her neck, and she became a quadriplegic. She's now in her 60s, I think. She's been in a wheelchair her whole life. Now, after the initial anger and frustration of what happened to her, she rededicated her life to serving God. And she spent her whole life. She writes books. She goes, speaks at conventions. She spent most of her life dedicating herself to ministry to those with disabilities. Now, in this book, Bill Hybels tells of a time that he saw her at a Q&A at a conference. And Joni was asked this question. She was asked, how do you go on? How do you keep leading and serving and creating despite your obvious physical challenges? She's in a wheelchair. Her answer was this. It's fantastic. She said this. This is the only time in history when I get to fight for God. This is the only part of my eternal story when I'm actually in the battle. Once I die, I'll be in celebration mode, in a glorified body and in a whole different set of circumstances. But this is my limited window of opportunity, and I am going to fight the good fight for all I'm worth. Friends, what do you want your testimony to be? Do you want to say, look, I succumbed to my tiredness, or my laziness, or my busyness? I succumbed to the temptations of this world, and I watched the battle unfold from the sidelines. Or would you rather be able to say, I fought the good fight. I dedicated myself to serving God by serving his people, and I did it through the strength that he gave me. Don't be a visitor, be an owner, and play your part in running our church. Before we sing, I'll open up for questions.